It's a story of tragedy and it's a story of neglect. The young man, Kane Gorney, 22, who was effectively allowed to die in his hospital bed at St George's Hospital, the subject of a lengthy inquest conducted by Deputy Coroner Shirley Radcliffe that finished yesterday with a damning verdict on what she called the culture of neglect that allowed that young man to die. To die after he'd called out on a number of occasions that he was desperate for a drink. He even phoned 999 to get the police to come, but the medical staff were able to persuade the police to go away. Well, in her first interview, let's speak with that young man's mother, Rita Cronin, who joins me now. Good morning, Mrs. Cronin.
Hello, Nick.
Thank you so much for coming on the programme. Can
yes,
I start?
That's okay.
It must be so desperately raw, so I offer you nothing but commiserations and condolences. This tragedy for you just goes on and on.
Yeah, well, it's been 3 years now. And first I want to say I listen to you every day. And quite a lot, what you say, I don't believe. I don't...
Agree with you. I understand that.
But apart from that, it's been 3 years now, so it's not so raw.
Right.
As it was at the beginning.
Right.
But I was pleased yesterday with the verdict.
Yes, we'll get you on. Just to explain to the listeners, your son had a medical condition anyway, didn't he?
He did. He had something called diabetes insipidus, which your fluid levels, you can't control your own fluid levels. So he was on medication to control the fluid levels in his body.
And
after an operation, you should have more steroids and more medication just to help your pituitary gland. It's very complicated to work harder after a trauma to your body.
And he went into hospital initially for a hip replacement, didn't he?
Yeah.
And after the hip replacement, when did you notice things were going wrong?
Probably the next day. He became quite aggressive and delirious, confused, and he was going in and out, 1 minute arguing and shouting, and the next minute apologising to everybody. And I think they just, they saw him as a nuisance, and I think they just thought I was a neurotic, because they thought, here's a 22-year-old, I'm sure he can behave himself and look after himself, and why is the mother getting so...
Exercised. And what sort of lad was he?
He was lively, funny, had loads of friends. I was absolutely staggered at his funeral at how many friends he did have without me realising. He was very, very popular and he was so loyal, loyal, loving son. We miss him terribly. He was athletic. He was a lovely boy.
Over how long a period did he effectively go without water, Rita?
I think he never went without. Actually, he never went without water. He did have water, but he had an incredible thirst because they failed to give him his medication. Now I was there, so I was giving him water. But before I came, he was screaming for water, and I don't think they understood that he needed the fluids. And because he was becoming aggressive, I think that's why they pushed the water away. So he couldn't get to it because he was bedridden. He'd had a hip operation.
Did you at any point think you're going to have to get a hold of the hospital manager or the surgeon and just spell out what you feared might be happening to your son?
Yeah.
And were you able to do that?
No. I kept asking everybody to help him.
And what did the nurses say?
Well, they just... I think it's because he was aggressive that they didn't want to...
But the aggression was caused because he had no fluid inside,
yes.
Of course.
And that's what the coroner was trying to explain. Why didn't you rule out organic causes, which there could be a cause for the aggression?
And how did they respond?
They thought it's because he had a brain tumour and brain surgery that his behaviour would be peculiar from time to time.
But fluid charts were not filled in. Surgeons didn't read notes. This was a failure on a massive scale.
I know. But at least the coroner saw that. The hospital have apologised. And
what does that apology mean to you, Rita?
Nothing. It doesn't mean anything because I waited 3 years for an apology, proper apology for them. I waited 6 months for somebody to phone me anybody from the hospital.
Six months.
Never had any response from them whatsoever. And I took it upon myself to find out. There's a great organisation called AVMAR. They're a charity organisation, and they help people who have had medical accidents or there's medical problems as a result of an error or neglect, and they helped me through it.
Rita,
and
we
made a complaint, and then we went further.
Rita, if you had your time over, what would you do differently?
If I had my time over, I probably would have myself become aggressive. I do feel I was maybe a bit too polite, but that's my nature. I think I should have just grabbed hold of one of the nurses or doctors and screamed and shouted, and maybe they would have listened to me.
And how did you learn that you'd lost your son? Were you with him?
Yeah. We were sitting outside the room. We didn't know he was dying. His father and I were sitting outside the room. That was why I phoned your show, because you had a caller on a bit earlier who said his father was in hospital, and he thought that he wasn't getting any water.
Yes.
And you asked the caller, did his father die from dehydration? And he said, no, he died from a pulmonary embolism.
Yes.
Well, actually, while we were waiting outside Kane's room, a doctor approached us and said, we think he's got a pulmonary embolism. That's why I phoned, because it struck me as very odd that that's what that man died from, according to the hospital. And that's what they told me Kane had. But I knew different.
And after you lost your son, did the hospital immediately appear apologetic, or did they start talking about medical terms and say that it wasn't?
Oh, no, they weren't apologetic at all. They just, I didn't feel that, I think what they did was, I think they were in as much shock as I was, because I think the medical staff realised what had happened as well. And, It was very difficult.
How do you feel?
Very, very difficult.
How do you feel towards the surgeons and the nurses now, Rita?
I don't feel anything. What struck me at the inquest was I didn't see any remorse. Maybe from one, which I don't want to mention.
No.
I did see a bit of remorse, but from the others, I didn't see any remorse at all. I just felt they were all trying to cover their own backs.
The coroner, or deputy coroner, she appears to have done a good job, doesn't she?
She was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
What would you want to say about her?
A wonderful, wonderful woman. She actually, I think she had some empathy for me. I think she was lovely. At the end, she offered her condolences, and there were tears in her eyes as she was talking to us directly as a family, saying how we'd been remarkable throughout the week, and she wanted to give us her condolences. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman.
And do you think, Deputy Coroner Shirley Radcliffe, she also said she's concerned about the target-driven culture and the European working hours?
Definitely. I've been saying it all along.
In what way? How did that affect Kane?
Well, the old-fashioned nursing was different than it is today. People actually cared. And to be honest with you, I think what they need to do now is the way they recruit nurses is not working.
In what way?
Go to university, they do a degree. Once they've got the qualifications, they're automatically qualified to work in a hospital. But they're not interviewed properly to see what sort of personality they've got and if they've got the right approach to what nursing really is about.
What is nursing about?
It's about being caring, and it's about looking out for your patient. It's not about sitting at the nurse's station gossiping or looking at computers.
And is that what
it's about sitting with the patient, finding out what's wrong with the patient, and building up a relationship with the patient. That's what nursing should really be about.
Did you come across any good nurses or clinicians at St George's? Were any of them any good?
Yes.
There were a couple?
There were.
Okay.
Not on the ward where he was for the hip replacement, but when he was in intensive care at the very beginning, there were some very, very good nurses.
In the inquest, you said that some staff tutted at you when you made your concerns about your son known. How did you manage to restrain yourself?
Well, I was in shock and I was frightened. So I just kept... I was just stroking his hand and his face and holding the Ribena to him to give him a drink. And I just...
Well, this picture in the Daily Mail breaks my heart when I see you with your... I mean, what it must do to you. This is a silly question, but I have to finish with this. But how is your life now, Rita?
Well, it'll never be the same. I think for the last 3 years, I've been okay because I've been fighting for him and it felt like he was still here, you know, thinking we're going to get justice. But I do expect the next... few months particularly will be very hard because it feels like, well, we've got a verdict now. What else can we do for him?
Have you had justice?
No. But we have had some.
And will you bring us...
What can I say?
Well, you've had some recognition of what your
That's
son
it.
Endured.
We've
son
had
endured.
Some recognition
yeah.
about what happened to him and the fact that everybody believes me.
And... will you seek a civil case?
I don't know yet.
Well, I'm not normally a fan of compensation, but this hospital virtually allowed... Well, they did allow your son to die. In a way, they almost killed your son.
They did kill my son.
Pardon me?
They killed my son. As far as I'm concerned, and his father's concerned, they killed our son.
And, of course, no sum of money would ever bring him back, but there is an argument that they should be made financially... to recompense this, surely, isn't there?
Yeah, there could be, but we'll have to wait and see what happens first, because there may be even a chance of a criminal investigation, we don't know.
Yes, because the coroner, who you've praised quite rightly, has referred it again to the police, hasn't she?
Yeah.
And have they been in contact with you yet?
Well, they've been constantly in contact with us over the last 3 years.
And do you know specifically, are they looking at individuals, or...
They were looking at individuals and they found that difficult, so there may be another option, but we're not sure yet.
Like a corporate charge?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. How horrible, we've had to speak for the first time on this.
I haven't spoken to you, but I have spoken to James before.
Have you? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, will you ring me again?
I will.
Rita, well done.
Especially if I don't agree with you.
I'll allow you to say whatever you like about me today. You've earned that. You can tell me that I'm completely wrong 99% of the time. Rita, you've done an extraordinary job on behalf of your son. You've made it work. And maybe, just maybe, you've stopped another mum and or dad going through this, you know.
Well, I think I probably have. Since it's happened, I've met a few people that have told me their little stories at St George's. And I discovered that Kane has probably managed to save some people's lives.
I hope you can be as happy as you can through the course of the next weekend. It's going to be desperately tough, as you say, as you lose the impetus now of what you've achieved, your boy. Thank you for coming on the show. That's Rita Cronin, who, of course, is talking about the loss of her son, Kane Gorney.